Hi everyone, welcome back to my podcast. Today I have three special guests with me. I have Callie Chapman, Abby Beta, and Miley White, and we are going to be talking about the controversial topic about gender pay equity within sports. It's really just a topic that continues to spark debate and drive change across the athletic world. And even recent data underscores the persistent income disparity between male and female athletes. Sportico's list of the 100 highest paid athletes, it doesn't feature a single woman, which is insane. And this absence really just highlights the ongoing challenges that female athletes face when trying to achieve their financial parity with their male counterparts. What we're going to talk about today is a little bit about the revenue generation, as well as endorsements and sponsorships, and just how male-dominated sports often attract larger audiences and higher sponsorship deals, which it really just leads to an increase in revenue for them. As well as a little bit in the world of collegiate sports with NIL and even the pay differences between men and women in college. Just touching on the pros and cons of pay equity and also giving a little bit of insight with professional athletes, female athletes who are just trying to make a difference and really try and get the gender pay equity really out there and trying to talk about that. So the first thing that we're going to touch on, which I mentioned before, is first just about a little about the just revenue building and how market dynamics should maybe play a bigger role in determining the athlete's salary. So the first question that I want to start with is, why do you guys think that the pay in sports should be based more on revenue and market demand rather than equality?
Yeah, well, for me, I think pay in sports is just like pay in any other industry, and it should be no different. I think with having it determined by revenue generation and consumer demand and profitability, it's just like makes it just like any other field, any other industry. We've seen like examples of this with the NBA because they generate over $10 billion in revenue every year, and the WNBA only generates about 200 million. So just like differences like that can just, I think that just makes a big difference in how they're paid, and I think it's just like any other field.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Abby. As you were saying, like pro sports are a business at the end of the day. Like there's obviously a front office, and it's clear that there are pay revenue differences in each of these professional sports. But if a team isn't bringing in enough revenue through like viewership or through the media or through any of like anything like that, there's obviously a clear reason why that unfortunately the pay isn't going to be as equal because these teams are still businesses at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to add because honestly, there's no argument to that by any means. Because, I mean, you can only pay if you have the money. Unfortunately, I wish it was different. I wish there was more investment in women's sports so that way the revenue could be, a little bit more equal. But that's kind of why we're talking about this and why we need to figure out like where to go from there with the revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. And also, like, historically, men have just had more time to build their leagues. They've had literally like years and like centuries of like investment and media exposure, and all of these just contribute to their financial dominance. I mean, women, we joined the game so late, and I think that's also a big issue because the business is consistently growing, but it's not just where the men stand in professional sports. And that also just that like literally just cascades all the way down into college sports as well. Like you still don't see a lot of the viewership going to women. Like yes, maybe softball, but in other sports, I mean not really. But again, women's sports are continuing to grow and we're just starting to see like a lot of major shifts like in viewership. I think the first name that immediately like pops into my head is Caitlin Clark. And how she's just really drawn like a record-breaking viewership to women's college basketball. And now even she's in the WNBA and she's literally selling out arenas and like generating massive media attention. I think she's such a big like woman like in this like day and age to really just try and grow the popularity of women's sports. So, for you guys, how do you see that this momentum of Caitlin Clark shaping the future of women's sports and giving opportunities to female athletes?
Yeah, I definitely think she gives opportunities to female athletes. Kind of not answering the question fully, but talking a little more about her, I think the reason why she's gaining so much media attention is because, I hate to say it, but she plays like a man. I mean, she drains threes and all the guys get so excited about it. And like, I love that for her, but she does have qualities of what you see in the NBA. And I believe that's one of the reasons why she's like obviously getting so much attention. Yeah, that's my thought right now on that. What do y'all think about that?
Well, it kind of like I think of Paige Bueckers too. Like, you've got these girls that are just so good, but like you said, like she plays like a man. It's kind of like the whole thing of to find out the characteristics of a woman, you kind of unfortunately have to make comparisons to what a man is,
For sure.
which sucks. But I think, I don't know, I do think it's a good sign that we're moving in a good direction with the visibility that her and like Paige Bueckers and on the negative part of that, Sedona Prince is bringing it. There's positive and there's to it, but it is unintentionally bringing in tons of fans that aren't paying to watch.
It's true.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
100%.
I think like people like that, players like this are helping women's leagues just continue to build their market, even though it's a newer thing like women's sports. And I think that just bringing in those viewers and bringing in those people who attend games just drives up that revenue and eventually will help their salaries rise. So I think this is a good thing for them. I do understand the argument of like comparing them to men and having to look to men to justify how good they are and things like that, but I do think that increasing attendance and increasing those viewership numbers will also just help the revenue or the salaries rise for them.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And also, like, each of these girls technically are making a whole lot more money than the majority of their women, like they're just fellow women athletes, just because they are making a lot of different like deals and sponsorship deals with these really big companies. And we got to just also keep in mind that because these specific women are just so popular, they are also like doing a lot more than maybe like your regular WNBA player who might not get as much clout just because people don't know who she is. So I feel like that's also a really big thing. Again, like brand power and sponsorship opportunities. But I guess pivoting, I guess, into I guess the opposite of what Callie was saying, we see one of the most popular female college athletes, Libby Dunn, really being praised for her feminine, like her beauty and her femininity, and how she's literally gained all of her brand and sponsorship opportunities from her ability to look pretty on the screen. No hate, but that's pretty much like that's her brand is herself. She's the highest paid female college athlete. Yet she's still millions of dollars behind the highest paid men's college athlete, which is insane. But really, just how do we think that NIL and like these brand sponsorships, how have they changed the financial landscape for female athletes? Do we see it as maybe like a step towards closing the gender pay gap within sports? Do we see NIL maybe doing anything for like some of the starters, just like let's say Paige Bueckers or someone who's still in college right now? Yeah. Oh, golly, sorry. I think NIL will do a significant job closing, well, not right now, but like closing that gap in the future. I think a little bit more than what we're seeing now, like professionally, I think it'll do really well collegiate wise. Not that I think 18-year-olds need to be getting, I don't know, $40 million before they even get there. But for female athletes, I think for most of them, college is the peak of their career, unfortunately. And
For sure.
so that's the way that they can make money. And with Libby Dunn, who we saw a few weeks ago, congrats.
Yeah, we did.
It had she has also brought a ton of awareness to gymnastics and bringing in and with her boyfriend Danny Paul Skeens, like, because she's so big, that's bringing new demographics into the sport, which I think is a really good thing, and it creates visibility for younger girls. That's also another pro and con that we could probably talk about for forever with the visibility with young girls, but I think at the end of the day, it's not the complete solution, but it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Just kind of adding on to that, I actually thought about this earlier today because I saw her on it on Instagram or something, and I was just thinking like it was her announcement of like being done with gymnastics, and it made me think of like who is she now? Like is she still gonna have the same image she had a year ago or even like 2 days ago? Like is it gonna be the same? And so like you said, I feel like it's the peak of their career, and then with all this money that they're getting and all the attention that they get, and then what happens? So I'll be interested to see kind of where her life goes, what she does, because like with NIL, she's been the face of LSU gymnastics or just gymnastics as a whole. So I'm interested to see how her life will like change and shift in this new transition for her. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I was actually looking at her this morning because she just popped up on my Instagram. And honestly, I think these athletes that aren't going professional will just end up as influencers. Like, she has so many brand deals, like, regardless of the gymnastics portion. Like, she's sponsored by what? Crocs, I think. I think I sent that to Avery the other day. Was it Crocs, Avery,
Yeah.
or what was it?
Yes, it's Crocs. I think there's like she's a big Fabletics. I think I see her in like every single
Yes,
Fabletics commercial. American
Fabletics,
Eagle.
American Eagle. She obviously is on some Sports Illustrated swimsuit line. So like I think it's an interesting thought of like these athletes are not only just athletes, but they're also becoming these really big influencers, and it's taking their athletics to a whole nother step, I guess. Like a whole nother thing. I don't even know. It's just so intriguing to me that how they can gain like millions of followers just from being like a college athlete and getting all these brand deals and brand deals. But it's such an interesting question that you brought up of like what happens after? Will they continue being that influencer? Or do you think they're going to like, just fall off the face of the earth because they're not an athlete anymore?
Yeah, there was
Yeah,
that
I
girl
agree.
from
Oh,
Oregon,
sorry, go.
that Haley Cruz girl from Oregon. Avery, do you remember her? She played softball.
Yes.
Like, she was really one of the first like softball girls that I remember like becoming really big in the influencer world. And after she stopped playing, it was kind of like she did get a bunch of brand deals, but it was kind of strange to see where she went after that because of that, like all that visibility with just the sport and all that money that it came from. Thankfully, she married an MLB guy. So she's okay in that aspect, but it's interesting to see the rise and fall of it all.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's crazy because then again, like, where do they go again, like, after they stop playing? And the people who do keep playing, they end up still making less money than men. And again, that's still going to be very consistent, I think, in this day and age, just because, gender pay equity is like such a complex issue. There's so many different perspectives that we can look at it. I mean, I think for us, we see it more, I think, on the collegiate side through social media. Really just like even when we see this through Caitlin Clark and Livy Dunn and just even Paige Bueckers, like it really just proves that the visibility really just does drive a lot of real change because that's who we see on television every single day. And again, revenue with different leagues does make a huge difference within this pay gap. That's actually one of like the biggest ways that it does contribute. But overall, thank you guys so much for really just sharing your insights. I think that was such a fun little conversation. It's good to keep in mind that this problem is still here and is still definitely happening. And also just for our viewers and our listeners, please keep this discussion up. Like we want to hear what you guys have to say. And just keep and always we just need to keep in mind that supporting women's sports should be one of our top priorities, especially as women. And really just
keep pushing the conversation forward. And we'll see you guys next time on, I guess, all of our podcasts. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, Avery.
Thanks.
Thank you, Avery.